The idle pot always gets stirred. Plus, Ayana is out for Janelle for no reason. The mean girls are fully back. Brad begins to separate himself. Leroy learned math while some others did not learn math. A Winnebago sighting. Nicole and Laurel finally speak. Everyone goes to the club, and Leroy has to walk out on Ayana's possibly hour-long nomination speech that had zero impact on the game. It's the Challenge All-Stars 4 Episode 2 recap coming up right now. What up, my fellow challenge lovers? Welcome to The Challenge Historian, where we dive deep into all things MTV's The Challenge, past, present, or future, if it's happening in the challenge universe. We are here to document it. I am your host and dedicated challenge historian, Jacob Hollaball. Thank you so very, very much for being here on this Wednesday for the second time today. Episode 2, All-Stars 4. It's a challenge holiday. Every premiere day is a challenge holiday, but this one especially. We waited a year and a half. All-Stars 4 finally here, and we get two episodes to kick things off. Hopefully you have watched both of them. Hopefully you are here to talk and recap episode number 2, because unlike a lot of places that have combined 1 and 2 into one single recap, we have done each separately and individually. So if you've only watched one episode of All-Stars 4 so far, go back one in the queue. Make sure you hit that recap first. If you've watched both and you've already listened to episode 1's recap, you're in the right place. Episode 2 only. That is all we're talking about here today. All-Stars 4 Episode 2. It was a great one. It was, you know, definitely had a lot more emotions involved in it than the first episode of the season did, where we were just kind of saying hello to everyone again. A lot to discuss. We'll run through the biggest storylines. Obviously, Janelle and Ayana taking center stage here. We'll hit some awards, power rankings, predictions, everything that you come to know and love of a Challenge Historian recap. Other programming reminders, the rest of All-Stars 4 season, expect the recaps out midday. I'll probably watch early in the morning, recap right after, get those posted sometime around midday most weeks of this season. Survivor coverage will be back this weekend. Tony and I missed last week. We'll be back with a double episode this week to cover last week's kind of limbo merge episode in this week's tonight's, what's going to air in about an hour as of this recording, episode where they actually merge. So Survivor Historian back this weekend with Tony and I. All-Stars 4 every Wednesday for the remainder of the season. Rewatch series relaunching sometime in the near future, going to cover some of the biggest, most important seasons between 1 and 39 on our way to debuting season 40 later this year. We'll be doing select seasons, hopefully with maybe some cast member guests who help us break down those seasons of old. So be on the lookout for more information on that coming in the next month or so, but that will be coming soon. As for today, again, All-Stars 4 Episode 2, hopefully you're in the right place. Thank you, as always, for being here. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave a comment below if you think, you know, disagree with anything, agree with anything. That would be nice if some people agreed with me once in a while. And for those couple of you that left some comments on YouTube on the All-Stars 4 Episode 1 recap that pertained to info from Episode 2, I apologize. I deleted those because I am just, like, ridiculous about spoilers, even though those ones were spoiling an episode that was out in conjunction and probably no one would have cared about. Nothing against you. I am sorry if that was you. Leave that comment again, though, here on this one. Now it is relevant. So, All-Stars 4, Episode 2, I'm going to mess up math just as bad as some of the folks in this episode seem to mess up math. Here we go. Let's dive in. The first obvious thing we got to talk about, the biggest story from this episode, Janelle eventually is driven to quit, based mostly off of the actions of Ayana and not being able to get along or wanting to live in a house with Ayana there anymore, is essentially where the episode concludes at for Janelle, and the season and potentially challenge career concludes at for Janelle. Now, this sucks to talk about, honestly, given current events now, a year and a half later again. It's doesn't feel great to be critical of someone who I do enjoy, who I think is a good person, and who is going through an incredibly tough battle right now. So shout out to Ayana, and, you know, best of luck and pulling for her, and still love her to death. But they show us these things a year and a half later. I'm going to react to what we see and what I see in this episode. Not loving what I see from Ayana in this particular episode. So we're going to be as objective and truthful as we can, as we always try to be here. Because, yeah, she kind of sucks in this episode. And the silver lining of it, or maybe I shouldn't even say sucks. She's stirring the pot. And she's, you know, I don't love it in this instance, but I typically love most stirring the pot because that is entertaining. And this, there is some entertainment that comes from this episode, certainly. But the silver lining of it is, unlike sometimes where people will stir the pot and completely manipulate a situation and drive another person crazy for no reason and drive another person to either be, you know, maybe not always quit, but to, you know, be thrown into elimination, be vulnerable. And it doesn't get called out till afterwards. People don't, the rest of the people around them don't realize it till afterwards. Maybe even when they're watching it back. This one, the silver lining is everyone kind of seems to see through it in the moment. A lot of people slowly catch on to, like, I think someone's lying and I don't think it's Janelle. I think someone's manipulating and I don't think it's Janelle. I think someone's pot stirring and I don't think it's Janelle. And, you know, a few people we see say that out loud this episode, a few people in confessional, you know, Brandon in confessional minces no words about how he sees this situation playing out. And we know from both the trailer and now the next week on that Jasmine is gonna, you know, she was ready to have words in this episode and found out that she didn't need to have words with Janelle. And I think next episode we're gonna see she still wants to have those words with someone, and that someone is now Ayana. Janelle came into this game maybe having, I thought, maybe one of the worst situations as far as like connections in the house go, made for a really tough road to, you know, to have to build all those connections and alliances with a lot of folks who had a little bit, you know, even the ones she had minor connections to had much stronger ones throughout the house and other places. And I just felt she was in a really tough position from that regard. And that could definitely lead her. And it seemed to maybe from what we saw in this episode and the, really the first one, lead her to be much more open to, like, I'll have a conversation one-on-one with anyone. I'll talk game with anyone. I'm trying to find a couple people who might be willing to work with me, who maybe are in a similar situation to me, or who maybe feel like they're in a group that's a little too big, et cetera, et cetera. And so she's trying to do those. And that included Ayana, which, even as she says, like, kind of even after being witness to everything on All Stars 2, they did that entire season together. They're both in that final. After witnessing all that, had good reason, you know, to maybe want to be friendly with Ayana, but not aligned with her, knowing, like, this, you know, this is a little bit of a ticking time bomb situation. If like, she's going to stir the pot a little, she's going to maybe just decide today's the day to put on a show or to get upset at someone or just to make an enemy or an ally or whatever out of nowhere. And maybe you don't want to be attached to that in an alliance. That would make sense. So even knowing that, she, you know, Ayana is one of the people we see her talk to one-on-one. I don't even remember if it was the beginning of this episode. Maybe it was last episode, of like, maybe feeling this situation out. But she doesn't have a lot of connects to lean on. And then her team sucks at the challenge. We'll come back to the teams and how they're picked, but they don't do very well. They end up as, you know, one of the two last place teams. The other one only has one woman on it because they do teams of four without a divisible by four amount of people. So now it puts Janelle in an even worse spot. There's only three of them to pick from. Two of them have to go in. And so she does the smart and would seem not that, like, not going to ruffle any feathers right now kind of thing to do, of just being like, I'll go in. I would like to go in. I bet there's going to be a lot of people nominating themselves. There's only three of us. Two of us have to go in. I'm probably going to get voted in anyways. I'm not super close with any of you. I'll go in. And no, I don't care who you put in with me. There's only two people to pick from. Whatever. So there's no angling there. It's simply, you know, I'm going to go in anyways. I'll just do it the confident way. I know the other two are both, you know, hopefully easier to beat than most would be. She does know that a little bit, but, like, she never says anyone's name. And if anything, she'd probably say Tina's name, because it seems like Jasmine, even before all of this, brings them a little bit closer. Seems to be one of the people that she's at least, like, having some connection with in the house. And it's so early in the game, like, you can maybe convince Laurel and Nicole not to throw themselves in, because they're not desperate for a star yet. So, like, this just makes perfect sense from Janelle. And she goes about it in the most, like, casual, like, just, yeah, can you put me in? Because it's probably going to happen anyways. Even if it was a blind draw, it's 2/3 chance that one of them's me. Just go ahead and do it. And Ayana asks for a name in return. Janelle doesn't give it. So Ayana lies and says that she did give a name. It was Jasmine. a huge game of telephone is played at the house and then the club and then back of the house. And it gets all the way to Jasmine, and everyone in the house seemingly at some point finds out via Ayana or Ayana Messenger that, hey, Janelle not only wants to go in, she wants to go in versus Jasmine. She thinks Jasmine's an easy layup choice. Ridiculous game of telephone. And there's a lot of people culpable there in like spreading that game of telephone and in, you know, taking Ayana at her word over Janelle's word. Those people barely had a role in any of this, really. So they're probably cool with the drama. This is the kind of place you're like, oh, the pot's being stirred. You just need me to grab the handle for one rotation and then pass it off. I can do that. I'm not really, you know, I'm like seventh most culpable here. And in, you know, first place has 90% of the culpability, but like, I put my hand on and stir one time. Sure, I'll do that. That's what most people are doing here. But you know, it's not great info. You know what you are doing. So while there's a bunch of them, Kara is the one that, you know, ultimately like goes over and is like, I will tell Jasmine right to her face what is going on. And Kara has been on seasons with Jasmine and knows how Jasmine is going to react to that message. So whether Kara is being a good producer in the field, like, this is going to be gold, like this could lead to something really entertaining or interesting or not, I don't know, but a lot of people play a hand in that game of telephone. Janelle shuts it down repeatedly, is like, no, even with Ayana standing right there, is like, does anyone in this room, a lot of you were present at all the different conversations, has anyone heard me say I want Jasmine or I think Jasmine's weak? Nope. Okay, across the board, no. So everyone knows what's happening here. We go to the nominations. Ayana gives her speech, which, like everyone there, I really don't know what to say. I have no idea what is happening. I don't know if we're missing context that led. Maybe she was actually talking first and they just edited it to make it seem more ridiculous by saying she was last. I don't know. But it was a totally pointless speech because her vote doesn't matter. There's like 15 people voting in this instance. And it, you know, what it, her vote just doesn't really matter that much. 1 out of 15, the vote as we see it, again, it could be edited, maybe she was going first and trying to really sway some stuff, but at the time we see her doing this, most of the votes are in, the votes are done. It's Tina is going down there with Janelle, and no one was really interested in what she had to say at that point. And so I don't know exactly what to say other than Leroy walking out is hilarious and amazing. And you could tell how fully comfortable Leroy is in this house, in his relationships in the house, in his reputation within the house, that he could be the one. He's like, okay, like, I think I'm the one that it's allowed, like, is going to get away with doing this and not going to upset anyone. I'm going to stand up and be like, what the hell's going on? I'm going to keep talking over you when you try to continue talking. And eventually I'm just going to walk out and leave because this is just a waste of time. That moment was unbelievable. Leroy is just the best. Leroy continues to be the best. I mean, it takes someone with the highest approval rating in challenge history, probably, which I believe is what Leroy has, to be the one that can do that in that moment and so easily and confidently. And it's just fantastic. And it, of course, leads to Janelle deciding to quit. I assume there's a lot we didn't see. Either that, or I think she potentially just really did hit a point where she realized, I think I'm just done with this show, like not just done with this season. I don't want to be around her, but like, maybe I just, this isn't healthy and it's not fun anymore. And so peace. And I'm done forever, because I do think she's done forever now by walking off over this. Again, it's a shit situation. It's not enjoyable for her. But I don't think this is, you know, something where production is going to be like, we totally understand. I think they're going to be like, we would have loved to see a little rivalry brew there. We would have loved to see some back and forth. We would have loved to see this go for a couple episodes. You maybe get your revenge, get her out, et cetera, et cetera. And so this sucks really hard, given that Janelle was in that debacle of an All Stars 2 final where, you know, MJ and Jhené deserve to win and be called winners. Absolutely. But it wasn't a straightforward final, to say the least. I would be pretty salty if I was anyone involved in it, that it just wasn't a very straightforward or well-oiled machine of a final. I ride for all the Key Westers. Key West, you know, mattered a lot to me. I love Janelle. I wish she would have seen a path to staying and getting, you know, Ayana out if need be to get her sanity back in the house. I'm going to miss her. It's a bummer. It's a bummer that anyone quits. It's a bummer that this has to go down like this. And I'm sure there will be more information that comes out about this situation, and we'll get to hear from, hopefully, from Janelle the full story. I haven't really been on, I was barely on Twitter between, you know, after episodes looking. I saw Jasmine say a few things, but not, you know, kind of allude to. There's a story to tell, but it's not mine to tell, that sort of thing. I think we'll learn more, but I'm going to miss Janelle is the long and short of it. On to the daily challenge we go. And look, if you listened to the B-Fank coverage, season 39 coverage, you probably know what I'm about to say, but can I please see them actually draw for teams, like Survivor style? Put a bunch of rocks or buffs or whatever in a bag, pieces of paper, I don't care, and let me watch them physically draw for these random teams. Let them draft or pick their teams. I don't love this just randomized four-person teams where we don't get to see how it's picked, and they don't seem very random after the fact at all. These teams don't seem random, all right? They seem grouped very specifically in specific ways here. The two Road Rules teams turn out. The one, Nicole and Laurel, end up on the same team with the two people from their, like, era most definitively, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, doesn't seem that random. All I'm asking for is to see them draw. If it's random, great. Just, it comes out same results of just having them draw out of a hat so we can see it. I still am all for them getting to pick teams. I think it's fun. And also, if you're going to do a four-person team event, do it when it's a divisible by four. I don't love that part of it, but I do love the game itself. So if I get over that fact, I do love the game itself. The game is really cool. I love the Winnebago sighting. I feel like we've maybe seen a Winnebago at one point in 1, 2, or 3, but if we haven't, love the Road Rules callback here. Love not just the Winnebago, but the Road Rules puzzle sign that they're putting together. The radio portion of this even kind of feels like a callback to the early first few seasons of the challenge and of Road Rules itself, with like the clues and how they got delivered. It was very nostalgic. It was very fun. It was very cool. And the game itself seemed really freaking difficult. To be honest, I enjoyed it a lot. A couple assessments from players in this particular daily challenge. One, Leroy worked on the math and it showed. That's big for his finals ability. Last episode, we were kind of like, Leroy, what's happening here? Why are we bottom four? What's going on? This episode, we're like, wait a minute. Okay, we've been working on our weaknesses. I like to see it. So he's kind of leveling back out. We'll see where he ends up in the power rankings at the end here. Brad basically does his whole team's math for them, which is a noteworthy reminder that Brad is pretty smart. And I think, as we said at the end of last episode recap, we don't know why I had Brad second and not first going into the season. Brad is now first. Spoiler, Brad will remain first in the power rankings, probably until he either wins the season ends, or he is voted off or eliminated somehow, some way. Ace, Car, Maria, and Avery, though, his teammates, my goodness, 872 plus 8. Being a lengthy discussion is pretty far up there near the top of biggest brain farts in challenge history. And there's been a lot of brain farts in challenge history, but 872 plus 8. Whew. Okay. Took all three of you to turn to Brad and ask about that one somehow in the end. Don't really know, but that's not a good look for the three of them. It does seem, I don't have the numbers in front of me, which is a not meant to be a numbers reference when we're talking numbers and math, but I just did it anyways. But, you know, math has creeped back into the challenge in a big way recently, but especially on All-Stars, I feel like almost every puzzle has math involved, is more math than puzzle, honestly. So it's you got to be good at it. Nicole and Tony, I don't know if they know what numbers are still. I'm pretty sure they maybe don't. I don't know if they've ever learned what numbers are, and I know they won, but it was thanks to Jay and Laurel, and it was purely Jay and Laurel, which is a good sign for Jay and Laurel, is a bad sign for Nicole and Tony. And speaking of Nicole and Laurel, we'll give the quick update, because that was another, you know, as it's going to be every episode, I think, a center point. The confessional after they win, the team confessional, is funny, is legitimately funny and entertaining and is kind of a good time. But then when shit gets like legit serious at the house, it's very obvious from that combo of like Laurel being like, I need you to actually apologize for the actions. And you just keep saying, you're sorry that I didn't like things you did, but you never say sorry for the things you did. And it's very serious. And it's very clear that that situation was toxic AF. and is going to be again, and we all know that. And as I made the analogy last episode, I feel like a car crash happened, and we were told immediately afterwards that a car crash occurred, and we've heard every person's story. We've been talking about the crash. We've litigated the crash. We went to court over it, the whole thing for a year and a half, and now we're just finally seeing the footage of the crash, and I don't know that I want to see the footage of the crash. This toxic situation seems ready to just explode back up. Probably going to be a good moment in there mixed in before there's some bad ones, but there's definitely going to be some bad ones. Next up, the Mean Girls are back in school. We get confirmation via confessional early on that Rachel is all in on getting all three of them a star now that they know the rules, which means all the stars available for all the women they're trying to get. They're trying to go three for three. There's only three. There's only three of them, which means they can't work with anyone else. And if they are, they're somewhat lying to those people that they're actually working with them for anything other than to keep them safe or to give them whatever they need in any given situation. They have Kara there for multiple discussions. One big one at the beginning, early in the episode, where it's just the four of them. And which is smart on their part and Kara's part. Smart on Kara's part to play nice. She can at least, you know, do this level of math of like, there's three of them. I'm the could be a fourth, but I know I'm the fourth of a three-person thing. The Mean Girls wanting the best player in the house close to them and knowing they probably know they got Brad pretty locked up. And as we see with the votes later, I think they do. He's one of the only people that doesn't vote for Tina. But they know they maybe should have Kara there too. And then they're set on like the two people who could help them the most in the game would be kind of working with them. In Brad's case, he could actually work with them. In Kara's case, she can't. So I see why both sides see that as a beneficial thing in the early going and maybe even long term from the Mean Girls perspective, not long term from Kara's, but I think she clearly knows and sees that. The way the three of them, mostly Tina, but Rachel and Veronica are there watching, nodding along. Mostly Tina, though, strong arms Avery into not voting for Tina with nothing to offer other than just threats, just pure threats that her vote isn't. And like Avery's vote isn't that all important. It's actually not important. Same as we said about Ayanna earlier, like the speech was nullified by the fact that none of this even matters. Like you're one out of 14 or 15 votes. In this instance, Avery's one out of 14 or 15 votes, whatever, things, 15, whatever. And so like one person's vote doesn't matter all that much. This is just purely, it's poor strategy to some degree from Tina and Rachel and Veronica to like do this and to potentially burn a potential future number during a situation that doesn't matter. But it honestly afterwards, I was like, you know, it feels like Tina was just practicing. She was like, I need a little warm up when it doesn't matter. I need to just get a couple threats in, just need to warm up the vocal cords, you know, get my rhythm in check, I used to be really great at this, but I don't practice as much anymore. I gotta get back and knock the rust off before it really matters. So I feel like that's all she was doing here. It was just like, this doesn't matter. So I might as well, you know, might as well do it. Might as well see if I've still got it. And she, you know, does the threats, everything like that. And it doesn't end up working. Again, it doesn't ultimately matter, even if Avery would have went with them. And Avery, I think, also can do the math of like, you have a three-person all-female alliance and there's three women that make the final. No, thank you. I don't think that's a situation that is conducive to me in my game. These three, though, seem to be doing everything together, always be together. Every time we see them, I feel like they are together, which totally makes sense and is also great for them. I'm sure they're having an absolutely great time. I'm having a fantastic time watching them be together. That's for sure. But it does feel like at some point we need to see them start to branch out a little, have each one of them maybe go on their own recon mission of like, maybe you try to kind of rope in this person on the side. Maybe you rope in this person on the side. Maybe you rope in this person on the side and spread their influence a little bit. But ultimately, the three of them are winners in this episode because one of them becomes the biggest winner of the episode. Tina gets a star. Janelle is gone. TJ offers he does not bring in a replacement, but he offers her spot still to Laurel and Nicole because they were the winners and they could come down and play Tina in the game TJ outlines if they so choose. And I get them not bringing in a replacement in this moment, who, by the way, Genesis was there as the female alternate. I believe it was Genesis. Genesis and Cyrus are the alternates on this season. And sorry if this is a spoiler for you, but we talked about it on the season preview. We see him in the trailer. Cyrus does eventually get in this game, and it looks from the next week on, it's next week. So, you know, in this moment, there was someone there who could have replaced her. It would be pretty shitty to, you know, to replace someone and walk in and be like, oh, I finally got in the game. Amazing. Oh, I'm in elimination, like right now. Like I have to do an elimination right now and then I have to go home. But at the same time, it's like if you don't get on the season anyways, then like it's obviously better than that. You know, go and win the elimination. You could be in the holding a star. You could be in the game for 30 seconds and suddenly be one of the six people in power in here with a ticket to the final. So it was a little, it was an interesting decision that they didn't bring anyone in, or that they didn't, after Nicole and Laurel both say no, TJ didn't say, well, Tina, you got to face someone and then bring that person in when they have someone there. But, you know, it is what it is. Nicole and Laurel say no. Should they maybe have done it? Yes. I see both sides of the argument here. I don't think there's a strong, like, one is definitively better than the other. Ultimately, they probably make the right decision because this is a game. It's just like a memory game. He explains it. You got to go press any button on the keypad, the giant controller, which looks really cool, the, like old NES style controller. And across the arena, a screen will light up with a code combo, an up, right, down, A, B type of situation. Memorize it and then press it into the controller and you win. Really fantastic, to be honest. I'd almost hope that we get to see the next round get to do this just because it seems kind of fun. But it's one Tina could win for sure. It's not, you know, the headbanger Laurel's looking for, and Nicole honestly is also looking for it there. And it's so early in the game that I see the argument of just like, just wait. You both have good chance of winning multiple dailies. You both have good chance of getting thrown in because people are going to start to not like you very quickly. So one way or the other, you're going to get your chances as a star, probably in a game that's more suited to you. Right now, you could just wait and kind of make Tina and therefore Rachel and Veronica like happier with you. That's all good. So I think it's the right decision. Tina then gets a star just by default. What a situation for Tina. Just walks into that. She takes Avery's star and guess what? Obvious, perfect sense. No, there was no debate there. You're not taking Rachel's, obviously, and you're not taking Kara's either until you would have to. It, you know, when they get, if somehow Rachel and Tina hold on and they get a chance to give Veronica, or Veronica wins her own star, that's the only time they're taking Kara's. They're not touching Kara's until it's the only one left, because you don't want to make an enemy out of the person who's going to win the most dailies across the season, more than likely. So Tina's got a star. Janelle's gone. No replacement is here. And we move in to some awards. First and foremost, as always, best quote. And look, better than episode one, episode two, as far as quotes and conversation and narration go. Shout out to Steve's opening narration, which is a nominee for best moment, but also could, parts of it could be the best quote too somehow. I just think that was amazing that they opened the episode and have one of the people, and you know, the one that won the elimination last time, do that opening narration, plus him doing, using the massage gun was really funny. I thought, really loved all that. Really nice touch. Very, you know, very cool, creative choice. There were lots of quotes. Maybe I even missed a bunch of them, but we got to bow down to the confessional queen of the season. The Dan Renzi Award might be wrapped up right here and now already, two episodes in, okay? Because Flora is a gift, a true gift. I said it last episode. I'll say it again and probably stop saying it. You know, like, she was the one that didn't make sense for bringing her back. And we all, one season, whatever, this, that, and the other. Thank goodness, because oh my gosh, is it so entertaining and so fun every single time. She is on the screen. I did not know how desperately we needed her. It's so good every single time. I don't even remember if it was this episode or episode one, but I haven't referenced yet the I'm hot, I'm a star, and then the flashback to to her saying like I'm that bitch or whatever during, I think that was a Real World season that they show the clip of. That's fantastic. Every time she gets in the confessional booth, every single one so far has been funny and interesting and just great. And her quote, her being the first one to just say, yo, what the fuck are you doing out loud during Ayana's speech, just killed me. Just killed me. I hope, don't you dare ever put her in elimination. Don't ever, she should get to be there till the final episode. If she just doesn't have a star and doesn't get to do the final, so be it, but keep her until the very end just for her commentary. It's unbelievable. Leroy and Cam's back and forth of the, like, I would rather blank, I would rather blank. I did cringe at the last one, Lee, the toothpicks under the nails kick the wall. Cringe, that hurt. I felt that, but I also felt and understood why you were doing it. And it was very funny and comical. And it was even better the fact that the two of them sat there and went back and forth with it. And then Tina's also early confessional where she's like, sorry, I just got off my period. I need a tranquilizer. I'm excited that Veronica and Rachel are here with me, but I just can't stop crying. That whole thing was great. Flora gets the quote of the week, though. Yo, what the fuck are you doing? Best moment, nominees in chronological order. Again, Steve's opening narration. I just loved that touch from production editing. Tina's confessional random cry. We just went through it. Was definitely a moment. Just was like, okay, what's going on here? But I love it. Tina's great. TJ driving in the Winnebago. Obviously, huge, big time moment. Nicole Laurel's team confessional was great. Tina strong-arming Avery was a fascinating scene, to say the least. But the winner is definitely Leroy walking out on Ayana, and that speech in general and the reactions to it, and Leroy ultimately walking out and explaining to everyone else what the hell was going on. Love, love, loved it. Best strategy. There is a nominee and there is a winner. We won't do this every single episode, but when there's someone who deserves recognition of a decent strategic play in my book, they will be brought up. I think Avery is, you know, deservedly here, sees exactly what we said before. We said about Kara and Avery before, but Kara, we don't get like true confirmation. I can't remember if she votes for Tina or not. I should have went back and double checked that. But Avery doesn't vote with the Mean Girls and clearly sees they've got three women and they kind of just chose me out of all these people of like, we need your vote specifically or else. And that doesn't seem like anything I need to be working with. And, you know, I'm probably not even fourth on their list if I do this, let alone whatever. Like, this is pointless. I'm going against you. Get out of here. I need to be on a group that has enough stars for me to possibly have one. So it's a small thing, but I want to try to highlight good strategy when we see it. And there wasn't a lot of strategy going on here other than Ayana driving someone to quit the show, which I'm not going to give an award for best strategy, although it did knock someone out of the running of beating her on the show. So, you know, it is a strategy, definitely, but we'll give Avery the best strategy of the episode. And as for MVP, shout out to Flora, shout out to Janelle, again, will be missed. Shout out to Jasmine. I think we're going to get a lot of Jasmine next episode. And boy, always look forward to Jasmine yelling at someone. It's probably going to be great. Ayana, second. I just can't give her the MVP for when I feel so shitty about the lies that she told and the fact that she drove someone to quit this game because they didn't want to be in a house with her anymore. Can't give you the MVP in that scenario. I just can't bring myself to do it. So Leroy, because he's the one that walked out of that speech, I give Leroy the MVP of the episode. Now to the power rankings. Slight change in both lists. The slightest of changes in the men's list. Decent shakeup, I guess, on the women's side. Women's side first. Kara and Rachel stay 1-2. I see no reason why they shouldn't be 1-2. And in fact, the gap after Kara and Rachel that already existed widened. I doubled it, which means in my notes, I used to have one line between 2 and 3. Now I have two lines. I literally doubled the gap on my notes between those. Kara and Rachel, I just think, are just walking to the end of this. Laurel comes in third, moves up, still hate the mess she's going to be in, but I just, you know, she's got to be up there. She's going to get chances to go pick her elimination, and she's going to absolutely injure someone if she gets to actually just handpick a headbanger to go in. Avery goes into fourth, from third to fourth. And then I have to put Nicole on there because she's going to have shots at getting a star. She wasn't ranked before. Obviously, Janelle falls off the list because she's no longer there, which opens up a spot. So I go Kara, Rachel, big gap, Laurel, Avery, Nicole. On the men's side, same five in a row as we had before. Brad, Leroy, Brandon, Adam, Steve, keeping the same five. Only difference is there is now a gap between Brad and Leroy. I'm starting to just feel, I feel even sillier 3 hours later from when I recorded the last episode and said I felt silly that I thought this was Leroy's season to lose when I think it's Brad's season to lose now. And that's how I feel. And I feel strongly and I feel silly for not thinking it going in. And now there's a little bit of a gap, but otherwise the top five stayed the same. And finally then, let's do some predictions. Now, before the season, we did make our finalist predictions and our winners predictions, but we've now learned that only six people are going to go to the final, not 10 as we guessed. So let me quickly pare down. I originally picked Leroy, Brad, Ryan, Cyrus, Brandon, Kara, Rachel, Laurel, Nicole, and Janelle as my finalist picks. If I were to do some redos here, but still have to pick from those 10, pick six, cut two off from both sides of that list, I'm going Leroy, Brad, and Brandon, and Kara, Rachel, and Laurel. I think we're going to get the best of the best competitors at this point are going to end up making it to the end and end up having those stars. So I'm going with those six, and then I have to keep Leroy and Kara. But as for predictions for next week's episode and beyond, next week's episode, I think we kind of see in the next week on, it seems like they're going to do a pairs daily challenge. I think Kara and Brandon will pair together, and I think Kara and Brandon will win said daily. And I think Jasmine's going to go off on Ayana. That may be foretold in the next week on, but I like to get some right every once in a while, even if it's kind of cheating. And I think Flora will have the best confessional. Those are my predictions for next week's episode. I can't wait. It's going to be hard. We waited a year and a half for two episodes. Now we have to wait 1 week, and it's going to feel like an eternity all over again, but it'll be worth it. All Stars 4 off to a solid start. Looks to be just massive fireworks coming. Cannot wait. Thank you, as always, for being here for both these episodes this week. We'll be back midday, early afternoon-ish on Wednesdays for the rest of All Stars 4 season. As always, DMs are open at Challenge Historian on Instagram if you want to chat this season, if you've got ideas or things you would love to see or seasons you would like covered. If I'm only picking, 7 to 10 of them to try to cover before season 44, a redo of the rewatch series, let me know any of that. Comment it below, DM me on Instagram, all those ways, subscribe, all the good stuff. Thanks as always for being here. I will talk to you again next week or this weekend. If you're a Survivor watcher, me and Tony will be back. Until then, peace.